Hello and welcome to the Foreign Desk Explainer on Monocle 24. I'm Steve Bloomfield. In this episode, Turkey and the European Union. One of the largest nations in Europe isn't in the European Union. And despite fresh talks between Turkey and EU leaders later this month, it's unlikely to be joining anytime soon. There are many sound arguments opponents of Turkey's membership could make. Issues over freedom of speech, democracy, the independence of its judiciary. But in the long run, none of that matters. For too many European politicians, there is nothing Turkey could do. They simply don't believe Turkey is part of Europe.
Your government is fooling you into believing that one day you will become a member of the European Union.
We should make it crystal clear that Turkey, an Asian country, cannot join the EU.
Turkey is often described as the bridge between East and West, and geographically, yes, that's true. But Turkey has always seen itself firmly in the Western camp. It joined NATO in 1952, and today it still has the organisation's second largest army. When the European Union looked to expand following the end of the Cold War, Turkey hoped it would be next in line. But in 1997, when EU leaders unveiled a list of official accession states, those nations put on the fast track to membership, Turkey, much to its surprise, was not on it.
Turkey's not in Europe.
La Turquie, c'est l'Asie mineure.
Turkey is Asia Minor.
Et par conséquent, il n'y a pas de raison que
so there's absolutely no reason why Asia Minor should be part of Europe.
In the early 2000s, European leaders continued to obfuscate. French President Nicolas Sarkozy poured cold water on the idea of Turkish membership. Austria threatened to veto it. Cyprus too, which let's not forget has its own history with Turkey, also made clear it was opposed. Turkey was left with the impression that too many European leaders saw the EU as a Judeo-Christian club. Muslim Turkey was not welcome.
An Islamic state like Turkey does not belong to Europe. All the values Europe stands for are incompatible with Islam.
Still, Turkey continued to jump through the hoops the EU laid out. They made reforms to the judiciary, abolished the death penalty, and improved human rights. It made no difference. Accession talks have been on, again, off again, for as long as anyone can care to remember. Turkish politicians have, in recent years, begun to wonder out loud if it's all worth it.
Turkey is now a powerful country. Turkey is no longer a country that would beg at your door. Turkey can stand alone. And with its determination, Turkey would join the EU if it were accepted. If it were not, it would make its own road.
Now the talks are on again, but not because the EU thinks Turkey has made progress towards some form of liberal democracy, nor because the more recalcitrant EU members have come round to the idea of Turkish membership. No, talks are back on because the EU needs Turkey, not the other way around. It needs Turkey to stop refugees and migrants coming into Europe. These negotiations probably won't lead anywhere. There are still enough EU members wary of Turkish membership, but it still leaves a bad taste in the mouth.
Furthermore, it's about negotiating a wider agenda with Turkey. Of course, addressing the questions of the accession process, the opening of new chapters. It's an open accession process in which we will not talk about the results, but we'll open new chapters.
This is a wrong deal. This is not a deal that's worthy of EU values, of human rights, of what we're fighting for.
EU membership is no guarantee that a country will take the same liberal path of the Union's founders. Hungary, for instance, under Viktor Orban, seems far more inspired by Vladimir Putin than Angela Merkel. But the promise of membership should still be about ideals, not realpolitik. That was the Foreign Desk Explainer. Tune in this Saturday for the full 30-minute edition of the Foreign Desk. I'm Steve Bloomfield. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.